This is the Rental Income Podcast, where we talk to owners of rental properties and give you actionable tips and advice that will help you make more money while dealing with less hassle. And now your host, Dan Lane.
I put together a list of 7 things I wish I knew earlier about renting properties, and you can download your free copy. Just go to my website, freelandlordgift.com. Joining me on the show today is Brenton Hayden. Brenton owns a company called Renter's Warehouse. They manage 9,000 rental units. And today on the show, he's going to give us some tips that'll help you find a property manager and tell you what to look for in a property manager if you're considering outsourcing the management of your properties. Or if you're still going to manage the properties yourself, he's going to give you some tips that will help you be a better manager and better landlord. So before we get into the interview, I just want to welcome a brand new sponsor to the podcast. It's Podio.com. If you aren't familiar with Podio, let me tell you how it works. So say you have a tenant that calls you and they have a light that isn't working. Right now, you probably track down your handyman, you explain the trouble, you figure out a time for him to go to the property, and then you call your tenant back and let them know when to expect the handyman. Well, with Podio, you can streamline this entire process. When the tenant calls, you just open up the Podio app on your phone, you write a quick note explaining the trouble, and then you assign that task to your handyman. He'll get an alert on his phone, and he takes it from there. When he fixes the issue, you get an alert back on your phone. It's really easy, and it'll totally streamline and simplify the way you do business. You can learn more and sign up totally free today. No credit card necessary. Just go to podio.com. That's P-O-D-I-O.com. With Podio, there's a better way to work. So, Brenton, welcome to the show. I want to make sure I have this right. So your company manages 9,000 rental units?
And growing by about 400 or 500 units a month. So I suspect by the end of the year, we'll be 13,000 or 14,000 folks under management across the nation.
It sounds like you're the right person to help us and to guide us through this information today. Let's start with finding a property manager. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there that maybe they're realtors, or they do something else and they manage properties on the side. Would you say that we should probably avoid these kind of managers, or could they be a good manager if they're doing something else and managing properties on the side?
I don't think anybody can be a good part-time manager. If that was true, then I would recommend most everybody fit it in between their jobs and little Tommy softball game. But it is a very big job, full of tasks. I refer to my agents and my property managers as firefighters. I mean, all day we just put out issues. We solve problems. We coordinate that maintenance request. We collect the rent. We ensure that the lease is enforced. There's so much that we do on a daily basis that it's hard to fit it in when you got something, like a job or a family to do, and then to fully commit yourself so that you're actually getting the true value out of your investment is tough. So I do not recommend going to, a buddy. I don't recommend going to an agent who does this part-time or maybe in the slow season.
Okay, so say I find a property manager. They're full-time. They're professional. I meet with them. What should I ask them to make sure that they're good? How do you know that they're going to be good?
This is kind of tough because you gotta know some of the right questions to ask to truly know that you're going into a good experience. I like to ask if they're going to require an exclusivity. That means, is this agent the only person allowed to represent my property, or can I go out and bring my own renter? And if so, do I owe them a commission? So exclusivity is a question. You should talk about licensing. You're going to certainly want to talk about fees, and fees, a lot of people think there's a commission for placement and there's a monthly management fee. Well, that's probably right, but there are many other fees that many other property management companies have.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I was talking to someone the other day that has a property manager for his property, and he was telling me that there was some kind of service problem. He had a leaky faucet or something, and his property manager charged him $40 extra to go over there on top of whatever he had to pay for the repair person. He had to pay $40 for the property manager to be there to supervise.
Sure.
Is that standard that most property managers are going to charge a fee for that on top of the management fee?
Nowadays, I think that's probably fair and appropriate, but whether or not that person knew about it, I don't know. And that's because nowadays everybody's focused on one fee. What's your management fee? And then they want it to be $5.99. And you know, if you're not the cheapest manager, that's all. I remember when I used to pick up the phone selling my company, and I'd get to talking about, I don't care about that. How much do you cost? What's your management fee? And everybody only focused, it was really amateur approach if all you focus on the management fee. And so I actually built my company around where everything is included in my management fee, generally speaking, with very few exceptions. But most companies do not. They may have a visit fee. They may have a maintenance coordination fee. They may have application fees, lease renewal fees. They may mark up or mark down your maintenance expenses. They may actually keep the late fees or NSF fees on any bad checks. Not all of this is good or bad. It's just you need to know because it's generally you want an agent that's motivated or a company that's motivated to collect your rent. You want a company that isn't going to gouge you, but you're just fully aware of what the fees and circumstances are. Like, what is it for a lease renewal? What is it if my tenant renews his lease at the end of the year or wants to sign a new one? Can I cancel? Is there a cancellation fee? Some companies have a non-cancelable contract. I've actually known a company that has a contract that says if you cancel, they get to take your renter. The renter's got to go too, which is unusual.
Wait, so someone signs a lease on a property. The landlord says, okay, I don't want to work with your company anymore. And so the property manager would move the tenant. Wow.
Now, I don't own that company. I know that company, and I'm not going to blast them on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it works, but that is their policy. I mean, they're moderately successful. I just never understood why they would do something like that. And that's just exactly how it is. The lease is with the management company, and if you cancel, so does the lease. And that was really interesting and I think not appropriate, but who am I? That's their business. And you know, people use them for whatever reason.
And that's just a good thing to be aware of that's out there.
That's what this is all about, right?
Yeah,
You might like a plan like that. You might like what that company offers. And it's not about who's the best property manager. It's about who's going to fit your needs the best. And so a lot of times I think you need to ask about the monetization coming from what you understand your needs are. So if you're going to have them manage it, what are your management fees? I would like to know about them all. Any fee at all that I might, you know, have as you managing my property, you know, maintenance, lease renewals. If there is a lease modification, maybe little Susie wants to get a dog or she wants to move the boyfriend in or they became married now. How does that all handled? So there's just a lot of questions that need answered. And now, generally speaking, you can find those answers in your representation agreement, also known as probably your management agreement or your tenant placement agreement.
So
I strongly recommend
property managers, and they have like a price list that's going to, in that agreement, they're going to list every fee that could possibly come up.
You would think so.
Okay.
You would think so. But generally speaking, you're going to find that by reading through the clauses, right? Each clause may reference the different fees. Renter's Warehouse, though, does things differently. We didn't want to build a company that was, built around investor speak, where you generally had to review the agreement just to make sure you weren't getting ripped off. We wanted a very simple, easy, fast, and worry-free way to hire a property management company. And so we built it so that all the questions are really answered on our website. So we actually have what we call a rat card, which has all of our fees on the back, and all of our fees for management are on one side, all of our fees for tenant placement on the other. It's a short little card, you know, tenant placement, monthly management, year-end accounting fee. That's about it. And then we have some risk-reducing services, some add-ons should you wish, like we can guarantee the rent, we can protect the homeowners against property damage, and we can even cover evictions, but those are optional services. And so you might find in reviewing this agreement there are services that you want you didn't know you wanted. And then you also might find that there's a fee in there that you may want to negotiate away or discuss what that length is to how that might apply to you.
Tell me about how some property managers will mark up repair costs. So there's maybe a plumber that comes over.
Sure.
The plumber charges $100, but the property manager is going to add a fee on to that.
I think your buddy experienced that. Some cases, you know, a lot of property management is a flat fee or a percentage, right? And they expect to be able to manage your property without having to visit it all too often. I mean, if we have to visit it all too often, there's trip charge, there's fuels, there's overhead in the vehicles, and all of those things come with the trade. And so if we have to visit, generally speaking, there's a fee. Now, my company doesn't charge for visits to the property. We charge for inspections. If the city wants to inspect the property, we have to go and attend that inspection. But a lot of times the property manager is going to protect them. They want to make sure that nobody steals any belongings from the tenants that could make the homeowner liable or the landlord liable. They want to make sure they want to oversee the vendor to make sure the vendor does a good job and that they're aware of what was all done. So sometimes it's a meaningful $40 fee to have that person there. You'll learn a lot. You'll protect your liability, et cetera. But my company does things a little bit differently. What I do is I try to go to the biggest and best vendors in my market, and I'll ask them to give me a discount in exchange for exclusivity. So if you want, you know, if I want this guy to be my plumber and he's going to be a great plumber, I'll say, listen, I'll give you all my plumbing jobs because you're good. You're professional, you're licensed and you're insured. Here's my standards. As long as you meet these standards, you get my account. However, I want a 20% discount on all services. And by the way, I'm going to pass along 10% to my client. And I'm going to keep 10% to cover my overhead so that I can go and attend that inspection, so that I can go and protect the liability. Now, that's how Renters Warehouse generally does is we work with vendors that give us a deep enough discount so that not only can we pass along a discount to a reputable vendor that you otherwise would not get, we're also not having to charge you a fee because we got a discount deep enough that we're able to cover our own fee through them by lowering their prices.
Okay. Okay.
Some of that stuff needs to be disclosed legally and otherwise. In Minnesota, for example, where one of my offices is, that is the law. We need to disclose that. And so I have provision in my management agreement where somebody would have read that, oh, it says here that you mark up maintenance requests by 10%. However, you receive generally a 20% discount. So therefore, a discount of 10% net discount is applied to, you know, most accounts. And so it explains all of that. And that's part of the, you know, that's part of one. Being a professional landlord, too, you got to know the rules and regulations in your area. And this is why it's not safe for do-it-yourselfers to go out there and manage their own property because they inadvertently could do something federally or even locally illegal that could wind themselves into hot water.
So tell me about some of the things you've seen. How can someone that doesn't have a manager, how could they get in trouble?
I think the most common one is probably fair housing laws, right? Mm-hmm. Discriminating against who you're going to allow to rent that property. You know, in Minnesota, there are protected classes like race, religion, creed, familial status, sex. There's a number of protected classes. Even public assistance is protected, meaning you're no longer able to say no to somebody renting your property if they have a subsidy in Minnesota, like Section 8. It was very common practice before that was a law that, you know, other property managers would just say, no, we don't rent to Section 8. Well, in some markets, that might have been actually federally illegal. Furthermore, there's a rule out there that says you must do a minimum background check at any tenant you apply. And that minimum background check is basically just an OFAC watch list, which is the Office of Foreign Assets and Control. They want to make sure you're not renting to the next terrorist. And so that's a free search that you can go to OFAC.gov to do. Otherwise, most background checks companies will do that inherently in their background check. But that's another thing. If you don't do that and you rent to a terrorist, the government could levy a minimum fine of around $11,000 against you.
Wow.
There's all these little things like, you know, some states have a maximum late fee penalty that you're allowed to charge. In Minnesota, it's 8% of the rent maximum. And if you charge more than that, you could find yourself in hot water. If you take partial rent, like say somebody, you know, owes you $1,000, but they send you $300, but you accept it, you might be unknowingly accepting new terms and allowing them to stay even though they paid partial rent. If you don't know the rules, you can be easily taken advantage of or get in trouble. That's why I don't believe it's safe for do-it-yourselfers out there.
That's actually a really good point with the partial rent. So what is a good way to do that? So say the rent is $1,000 a month and the tenant calls you up and says, hey, I can only pay you $500 now, but I'll have $500 on the 15th. What do you do as a landlord? Do you just have to reject that?
No, not necessarily. It all does vary, though, by market and state government, federal government. But let's just use one market I know really well, Minnesota. In Minnesota, we have a clause in our lease that specifically speaks to partial rents. It basically says that we will accept partial rent. However, it does not constitute a new arrangement, a payment plan, or our inability to collect a future rent or to evict you. And there's a disclosure requirement in order to make sure that you're not – if you disclose these things up front – you're protecting your ability to evict that tenant even though they paid partial rent. Furthermore, when we accept partial rent, we usually send them a notice that says, you still owe $700 more. It's still late. We've applied it to this, but this does not constitute, a payment plan. If we do sign somebody into a payment plan, meaning we knowingly accept prorated rent with a projected date of when we'd get future rent, we put the same disclosure in there that says it will accept partial rent. However, on such and such date, if you have not paid, we reserve our right to evict you based on non-fulfillment of, rent, a default of your lease period. So
just by putting
about disclosure,
but by putting someone on a payment plan, are you jeopardizing your right to evict them?
You can.
Wow.
You can. Yeah, because let's say you accepted $300 of that $1,000 and you gave them a contract that says, okay, you got 2 weeks to pay the other $700, but then somewhere along the way they offended you and they pissed you off and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna evict them anyway. You go to court and the judge is like, well, you have a contract that says you gave them more time to pay. You basically superseded your own lease. And until they default on that new agreement, they're not in default of their original agreement.
Wow.
And furthermore, you accepted partial rent, so therefore you actually constituted basically your own agreement right there. Your lease said to pay in full. There's also a provision that I use in my lease that says you may make your rent in full or in pro rata amount. However, pro rata amount leaves you open to eviction because it's not the full amount, and the only way to avoid eviction is to pay your full amount by the due date. So there's all kinds of lawyering done in the agreement that makes you have the ability to accept pro rata rent or partial rents, which is something as a good landlord you want to be able to do. I instruct my rent collection team that if they can get $5, $50, whatever they got, get it for my clients, but never relinquish our ability to evict unless they pay up front or there's something in full, something in it for the landlord, because at the end of the day, we must treat this like a business. It is a debt due. Another thing that we do that really helps our ability to collect rent is we became a full-on credit bureau. I actually report to Experian in their rent bureau, credit bureau, which allows us to have extra leverage when we're talking to a tenant that's, nearing 30 days late. We basically can say, on the 30th day, you get reported to your credit report as not having paid your debt as per described, and you're going to have a major impact to your credit report.
Is there a way that a small-time landlord could get that ability to report to the credit bureaus, or is that only something that a bigger company like yours could accomplish?
I think so. I think if you go to the Experian Rent Bureau, you can register or sign up to be able to at least access their reports and maybe even publish. There's also ways through property management companies. There's a company we use that we like. It's called AppFolio. AppFolio is a top property management software out there. It's rather expensive, but it's a good software that actually has the ability for you to sign up, register as a credit bureau, and then have the reporting done automatically through the property management software.
Okay. Now, do you guys have custom leases? Like, did you create your own lease, or do you use? Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, because of that, you're able to make them more landlord friendly. So everything in that lease is going to be pro landlord. Where if someone's using a realtor association lease, that might not protect the landlord as much.
I built this company on transparency and full disclosure, and so my lease is 29 pages long.
Wow.
It's robust. It's been written. It's been reviewed and written by former attorney generals, commissioner of commerce, etc. Some of the best attorney minds I know in real estate. And anytime we lose a case or something didn't go the way we work to make our agreement stronger and more landlord friendly. I don't want to say it's landlord friendly because it's also tenant friendly. It's full disclosure of all the rules and regulations within the law that nobody can say it wasn't in my agreement. For example, my agreement explains there are 6 ways to pay your rent, and that means that there are only 6 ways to pay your rent, and that your 7th method or your 8th method are just not approved ways. We explain how we charge late fees. We explain the eviction process. We explain pro rata rent. We explain all of this stuff, and if you don't have it, it doesn't count unless there's a law in your state that covers it. So I recently encountered this in Florida. Florida has a law that requires people to use the standard lease by Florida law, which is basically like a three-page lease. However, you can use a custom lease only if a lawyer drafts it on an individual basis for each client. And as you can imagine, as a property manager like me, I would prefer that every one of my clients uses my renter's warehouse lease. Mm-hmm. But that's going to require a lawyer to review each circumstances, each instance in order to use it. Well, we've developed a program that we're innovating here down in Florida, in Miami, where we have the standard lease you can use that's free, just like you would expect to get from a property manager. But if you want to use the renter's warehouse lease, because of the Florida law, we have to charge $150, and then you get access to our attorney who's going to use our 29-page lease to draft up your lease for your property so you have a little better protection and then yet follow the Florida law. Again, if you didn't know the rules, you could find yourself in hot water. And having moved into this market for the first time in a while, we had to study up and notice that each market is very different. Florida, very much different than Minnesota in that instance.
Yeah, there really is so much to know. Well, Brenton, it's time now for us to get into the lightning round. So we have five questions in 60 seconds. Are you up for the challenge? You think you can get
it?
Okay, let's do it.
Now, the Rental Income Podcast Lightning Round. Five rapid-fire questions and answers in 60 seconds.
The first question is, what's your favorite real estate book?
I'm going to have to go with a new one. It's the Zillow. It's called Zillow Talk, The New Rules of Real Estate. I'm halfway into it, and I'm loving the data I'm getting.
The number one fear that I hear from people all the time on why they don't want to own a rental property is they don't want to get a call at 3 a.m. that a toilet's clogged. With 9,000 rentals, have you ever gotten this call?
I don't think I got the 3 a.m. toilet clogged call, but I've gotten some 3 a.m. calls that I guess I would prefer to have the toilet call instead. Let's just say that.
Number three, if you had a property sitting vacant for 6 months, you had a potential renter apply that had horrible credit and a spotty work history, would you take a chance on them and rent to them or let the property sit?
Easy one. I'm going to go with a hell no on that one, Dan.
Number four, if you could give one piece of advice to a new landlord, what would it be?
Do your due diligence. Homework is not something you can cheat on. You got to know the cap rate, the cash flow, the cash on cash analysis, you know, future years of appreciation. You got to do all your homework up front.
So close. We almost made it. question number five, would you rent a property to your best friend?
To my best friend, yes. To my friends, maybe not. But I think everybody has a little different perception of their best friend. Mine's pretty good. I don't know if it was my friends, I'd do the same.
Well, Brenton, why don't you tell us where we can track you down online and tell us where we can find some information on Renter's Warehouse?
Okay, so there's a couple ways. I get asked for a lot of advice from other landlords, property managers, people, entrepreneurs, and you can find me on clarity.fm. That's a place for you to check out my resume and buy some actual professional time from me. But there are also ways you can be social with me on LinkedIn and Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Brenton Hayden, and LinkedIn, you can just search my name there. I tend to participate a little bit more on those sites than any others. But I do have a need, Dan. I'm looking to expand across the country. I got 26 offices open in 15 states. I'm the second largest and the fastest growing property manager in the United States. And I need the help of other real estate passionate entrepreneurs that would like to start their own renter's warehouse in their own markets. And so I'm hoping I can plug the website for professionallandlords.com. And you might send some of your savvy real estate investors to check that out and see what markets are available, because we're expecting to sell 40 to 60 new franchises this year, all across the nation and in Canada. And we're looking for the right people to license our business and for us to show them how we've done what we've done and for them to set up their own renters where else in their local markets. So that's professionallandlords.com for those investors and anybody else that you might refer our way that might want to become a renters where else franchisee.
Awesome. Well, Brenton has mentioned a lot of really good websites and resources today, and we're going to have links to everything he talked about on the show notes page. You can find that at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode32. We'll also have his contact information there if you're interested in learning more about getting a renter's warehouse franchise. Also, if you are brand new to real estate investing and you want to figure out how to finance your first rental property, you want to know how to get started, I've got a really good training class that walks you through all the financing options. It's really easy to understand, really breaks things down in a really easy to understand way. You can learn more at rentalincomepodcast.com/finance. Thank you so much for listening and to subscribing to the show. I really appreciate it. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.